Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
I know that I'm not alone in saying this. I feel like sibling group chats across the of Geelong and the Surf Coast for the last week have just been popping off with, what are we going to do for Mum this Mother's Day?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Me and my sister had the phone call.
Yep, the phone call. Nice. Me and my family, we have our major family group chat that's like everyone.
There's different subdivisions.
Yeah. The subdivision that just has me, my brother and my sister, we're the OGs. We have our OG group chat.
Yeah.
And so I messaged the OGs and was like, hey guys, are we going in? Because it's Mum's birthday on Saturday and then Mother's Day Sunday.
This is the thing. My Mum's birthday is on Monday.
Yes.
So it's always a twofer.
It's always a twofer. And so I said to my siblings, I was like, are we going in for a gift this year or are we going separate gifts? My brother was the first one to chime in. And he was like, I'm going a separate gift. So me and my sister were like,
oh, you're on your own.
Okay, you're on your own then. Great. So I've been...
Your brother's in the perfect slot where he has a child. So just a photo framed of that child, that'll last him 15 years.
So it turns out, and I feel like I can confidently talk about this because I know that Mum's not listening right now.
And if Loretta, Jess's mum, if you're listening, just do the honourable thing.
Switch off.
Switch off.
I don't want to ruin your birthday and your Mother's Day presents. Yeah. My mum has been going to the gym a lot lately. Started working out. And so she's been talking about buying new headphones because she still has the corded ones.
And like, so, like an ad from 2007 for the iPod.
Yes.
Are you going to be my girl?
So my brother had decided he was buying her AirPods.
But, damn.
Right?
Way to make me feel crap about what I've got my mum for her double up.
It's a double up. So it's a birthday and Mother's Day gift. And so he had decided he was doing that. But instead of telling us that, he was just like, I've got this sorted. Don't worry about it.
That seems like that value of a gift.
Seems like a group gift,
that's
right?
That's a group gift. That's not fair because you have to now match what he's done.
So I didn't know that he was planning to get AirPods.
That's not fair. Do the photo frame. That's what you meant to do.
So me and my sister talked and we were like, hey, let's get something for Mum for Mother's Day together and then we'll get our own birthday gifts. So I didn't know.
Oh my God.
My sister. Yeah, it's so confusing. Chaos.
All over the place.
My sister goes out and buys AirPods.
She's only got two ears. She's only got two ears.
Right. And so my brother calls her last night and he's like, hey, what did you get for Mum? And Nat's like, I got her AirPods. And he's like, what did you do that for? I was buying AirPods. And she was like, you didn't say anything about the AirPods. So I've got my brother on the phone. He calls me and he's like, have you bought anything with Nat yet?
You're like, I don't want to say because I also got her AirPods.
And I was like, how about we go in on a gift together? Natalie can just go the AirPods. And he was like, but I got her the AirPods. And I was like, but you haven't even bought them yet. And she has.
Okay.
So it was like this chaotic conversation where we were going back and forth. Who's buying what? Are we getting this for Mother's Day? Are we getting this for birthday? Finally, I called my dad because I was like, I'm sick of being the family mediator. Dad, what does Mum want?
Daddy, help.
Help, please. And Dad was like, she's been looking at an Apple Watch.
Oh, God.
My mum, just an ad for Apple.
An Apple Watch. What gifts is flying around this family?
Right?
Do you know what I got my dad for his 70th birthday?
What did you get?
A mug with my face on it.
My mum would probably love that, actually.
Yeah, that's more in the budget. I like that.
So my dad's like, right, your sister's getting the AirPods. You, me and Peter will get the Apple Watch.
That's
sorted.
That system is heinous.
Right.
It is a terrible system.
And so I text my sister. I was like, everything okay? This is the plan. And she was like, I don't understand why I'm now buying the AirPods alone. It's like, you decided to make don't fight me on this.
You led your own expedition.
Oh my, I have never wanted to throw my phone in a river more than I did last night.
Well, guess what? I bet your mum wants one, so you have to buy another one for her and round out the entire goodie bag from Apple.
Next, she'll be asking for an iPad. I can't afford this.
There's no way. There is absolutely no way. Well, happy birthday. Well, no, she's not listening, so I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
Because we told her not to, in good faith.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
I think I might have stumbled across something that's not okay.
Right.
Was it the work lolly jar or like chocolate jar?
Yeah.
And someone had put in some Milky Bar chocolates?
That was me.
Thanks, dude.
You're welcome.
That was delicious.
I was at Aldi today, picked up 50-pack.
And it's like proper, it's not like Aldi's version
no,
of
no,
chocolate.
No, it's proper the Milky, like Milky Bar.
Milky Bangs or something. It's Milky Bar.
I think it's Nestle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was excited. I grabbed one. All I wanted was one. And I was like, excellent. Let's have a look at the Milky Bar kid, a.k.a. Kevin Rudd in a cowboy hat. Identical former prime minister. If you're too young to understand it, Google it. I guarantee there'll be a side by side on
yeah,
the internet.
Yeah, there were so many memes.
And to my shock, it's not. There's no Milky Bar kid. It's like a little.
Oh.
It was like a. There was three little characters. Like on, because I immediately went in and I was like, yeah. I've got it. Obviously, a defunct one. Something's
well, I got one that
wrong.
Had a cow on it.
So there's a cow.
Yeah.
There's a little blonde girl.
Sure.
And a little ginger boy.
The Milky Bar kid was never ginger.
Or a girl.
Are they trying to imply that that's the Milky Bar kid now?
I don't know.
Or are they trying to imply we're all Milky Bar kids? Is that?
I like inclusivity, don't get me wrong. But where the is the Milky Bar kid? What the happened to him? Or them?
Are you bleeping yourself out right now?
We don't have the magical swear button ready to go. We have to build it up. So
can I say that the Milky Bar kid is mentioned on Kevin Rudd's official Wikipedia?
Of course it is.
Just
it looks like him. It's like a little Kevin Rudd. If you were to do a cartoon of Kevin Rudd,
it would look like a Milky Bar kid.
Just go straight to the Milky Bar kid and just use that as your reference. But no Milky Bar kid. What?
Is this where you delve into an deep investigation that you've been working on all day?
It's just a thought I had.
Right.
Where is he? Where's the Milky Bar kid?
Where did he go? When did he leave? Is the real question. When was the last time you had a Milky Bar?
Also, here's where I'm at. Did I find all of the characters?
Mm.
Is the Milky Bar
Well, there was 50 in the
there?
Pack, so there might have been.
There's so not 50 in that jar. People are animals here. Ravenous animals.
It was filled to the brim this morning.
Wow. Okay. If you could tomorrow, and it could literally be, like, I know you like to do investigation deep dives, and they're like these 5-minute exposés. If you tomorrow go, no, Tim, you just didn't find it.
Sure.
I'm happy with that.
As long as you get an answer.
You saw me scurrying through the jar, and did we find a Milky Bar kid?
We didn't.
It's un-Australian.
We found that little redhead quite often.
I'm worried that, like, there's some woke thing, and it's like something's gone wrong, and I'm like, bring back the Milky Bar kid. And, like, the Milky Bar kid's based off, like, some just absolute...
Just heinous character.
Person. Yeah. But if you could tomorrow... Just confirm
that you're racist.
No, I might. I could be an ist. I could be an obic.
Sure.
I don't want to be. I'm just saying, like, I've done so little prep into this that I could be like, it's like you know how Red Rippers didn't used to be called Red Rippers, and I'm like, what? Why don't we call it that anymore? I don't want it to be that kind of situation.
Well, let's find out. I'll find out for you. I'll do some research in the next 24 hours.
Thank God, one of us
present it to you
because I'm not. So excellent stuff. So tomorrow, a Milky update.
Yep. Excellent. Where is the Milky Bar kid? We'll find you.
We'll track him down. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Jess, you're a big texter. I see you on your phone. Pitter-patter, text. Mm-hmm. Whether it's your friends, whether it's your husband, whether it's your family, you're a texting machine.
I love it.
Some info has come through about the most emotionally offensive and triggering text messages that you can send. What do you not like if someone texts you? Not like say they're like, I hate you.
Yeah.
But like words that that shouldn't make you angry.
I don't like, because I'm a, you're right, I am a big texter and I'm the kind of person that'll be like, bang, 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 like a stream of consciousness.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? What time are we getting there?
I might ask three or four questions.
Yeah.
And then when someone texts me back and they only answer the very last question, I'm like, read all of the messages and formulate a response, please. It's not that complicated.
Okay. Well, apparently, K... is the most emotionally triggering text that you can send someone.
Mm.
Closely followed, because of the passive aggressiveness and the disinterest, K beat out sure.
Oh, yeah, I don't like sure either.
And thumbs up.
Yep.
Just thumbs up.
See, I like thumbs up because it's like a conversation
like thumbs
ender. Thumbs up.
100%. 100%.
Or like... I love heart a comment, you know, like...
And you go, that's great.
I don't need to acknowledge this now. Love heart. Thank you so much. Yeah. Conversation done.
What because the person I text the most is my wife,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I have a fair filter of what I look out for in text because she'd never send a K or a sure.
No. She's more likely to ignore your messages.
100%. And she always forgets that she has red receipts on.
Ah.
I'll be like, hey... What do you need me to grab? Blah, blah, blah. Be like red 1 minute later. 2 hours later, sorry, I just saw this.
Mm. My husband doesn't have notifications on. So if I want him to check a text message, I have to text him and then call him.
Like,
and then when
text.
He, and I'd just hang up. I'd just prank him. And then he'll see a missed call and he'll be like, Jess has texted me.
If only there
it
was,
is the most annoying system.
If there was only a way that could be adjusted. Maybe right. Notifications. But I know how, if my wife, so like, we'll throw around ha-has.
Yeah.
H-A, H-A. Ha-ha, ha-ha, ha-ha. If my wife throws around a single huh, that's like her like,
you're in trouble.
Like the dishwasher's broken. Yeah. Huh. And it's like, uh-oh.
Oh, no one's chuckling here.
Even lol is very aggressive from my wife. But that, because she's like, that's her like, can you believe this?
Yeah.
Lol.
I got a LMAO from my sister the other day.
Are you sure she wasn't asking you about the popular band LMFAO and their party rock anthem?
It was like a sarcastic, like, oh, as if that's going to happen, LMAO. Mm. I was like, wow.
What is it? And it's laugh my ass off.
Yes. Yep.
I don't get, like, I obviously, because we grew up in that generation where that was common. But who put that together where they were like, how do I express how much I find this funny? I'm laughing so hard.
Yeah.
My rear end has displaced and it's fallen to the ground.
I prefer LMAO than, like, do you remember when people, I'm so glad this has dropped off.
Rufflecopter?
Yes. Like, Ruffle was bad enough. And then when they just added Copter to the end.
And Ruffle was rolling on the floor laughing.
Yes.
5223295. What texts do you hate?
Yeah.
Maybe it's specific to your partner. Maybe it's something they say. Maybe it's something that your parents do. Or maybe, it's just.
Maybe it's you just want to call up and talk about how much you hate Ruffle Copter. I'm happy to accept that call
today. 100%. 5223295. What text messages make you angry? You hate them. When someone sends them to you, you go, are we fighting right now? Why would you make me this angry?
You know what I hadn't considered, Tim?
Anyone else's feelings? How loud you are? How rude you can be when you're not paying attention? How dismissive you are of me?
Oh,
sorry. Did you? I thought you were asking me.
No.
Was it rhetorical?
No, it was a rhetorical question.
Oh, my God.
I was going to tell you how I was feeling.
Oh. Sorry, I just thought you were finally giving me a chance to speak. No,
I would never give you that opportunity. I got Megan, Tim, from Bell Park.
Hey, Megan.
And I hadn't considered that these annoying messages could be emojis.
Oh, okay.
Megan, you are the annoying texter, right?
Look, if annoying is the word you want to use, then yes.
Are you more persistent?
With mum, I am. It's mum, mummy, mum, mama, you know, repetitively until
oh my God.
Finally replies. But I have this one emoji that my family, like my mum and my sister, know that if I use this particular emoji, it is just, even if what I've typed seems nice, it's pure sarcasm is that emoji.
Okay. What
can
is
you
it?
Describe the emoji to us?
Jess has got her phone with her
I'm trying
so she's
find
gonna be
the
able
emoji.
To look at it.
So it's like the full normal smile where it's just the two eyes and the simple straight line.
Oh, face. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah, and then there's like the identical one that's upside down.
Yeah, that's a fun one to say. Because the upside down one is like someone asks, how's work going? And you say, yeah, great. And it's the upside down smile.
And
essentially
you
being
know
like,
that you're telling porkies.
That's sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, or when someone's like, how well did your baby sleep last night? And it's like, oh, the whole night. Just kidding.
Just lying. Also, you use it as like, I'm completely lying to you. This is the exact opposite of what I'm saying. And your family don't like that you use those straight-faced emojis.
Well, not that they don't like it. It's just that they know that, you know, if that pops up, they're just like, oh, okay.
Because would you...
don't mess with Megan today.
Would they rather just be like, just tell us it was crap? Just say, no, this wasn't nice, instead of you going, like, because then they're like, oh, well, is she being serious? Is this a joke?
Well, like, for example, my partner hates concerts and doesn't like it. And I wanted to go to one a little while ago. And he's like, ask me last minute. And, you know, if you don't have anyone, then I'll go. And I was like, I'll just go by myself. And I put that particular smiley face.
Oh, no. Oh,
it was in a group chat, and my sister messaged me individually, and she's like, "Are you going to kill him?" Because of that one emoji that I'd put in the message. So they just know.
Oh, my God.
That it was tense. Okay, all right, Megan. Well, I'm glad that this is a phone call, because I'd be worried if we were communicating through text message what you'd send through at the end of this, okay?
Definitely just love hearts for you guys.
Okay, oh, that's very nice. Upside down smiley face.
This is Tim and Jess.
Having a big day for, I guess, fans of indie music in the 2000s, and that includes yourself and myself.
Absolutely,
Jess.
Tim. We are so excited to be joined on the phone now by an icon.
Yeah, of one of the best bands from the 2000s. His name is Bob Hardy, and he is from Franz Ferdinand, the original bass player, and still with the band. Bob, it's a big day today for Franz Ferdinand, live at the Gardens Friday, November 28 in Melbourne. Thank you so much for coming by the Tim and Jess Show, live from London, we understand.
Yes, thank you for having me. Yeah, delighted to be here.
Now, we're very excited to see you guys come down to Melbourne. Obviously, it's been a little bit of a hiatus for you guys. What have you guys been up to since the last time we saw Franz Ferdinand?
Yeah, well, I think the last time we were there was 2018, I think. So what's that? It's like 7 years, isn't it? That's a long time. the album Always Ascending came out in 2018, so we toured that, obviously. But then COVID hit, and so we had a greatest hits record. And that kind of like ate into the time a little bit. Initially, we wanted to have that greatest hits record out in 2020, but then obviously COVID meant that we couldn't do that. We couldn't tour it, et cetera, et cetera. So everything just got pushed back a bit. And then the record was ready when it was ready and we released it.
Now, we know you're big into art, Bob. I've read so many articles about how you and Alex, the lead singer, are both into art. Jess and I yesterday were talking on the show about how a kid in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam, he got past a barrier and he damaged I think it was a Mark Rothick. I think that's the name of the painting. A Dutch artist. The painting was worth $85 million. How does that make you feel as someone who's a keen artist themselves?
I mean, that's quite hard to do. I think I've been to a lot of galleries in the Netherlands. It's quite hard to get anywhere near them. So, yeah, I mean, it must be quite agile.
toddlers are going to find those places that most of us can't, I think.
God, his parents must be feeling pretty embarrassed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hopefully they can fix it, I imagine.
The indie music scene's really picked up again. Have you noticed like a bit of a shift? I know that when you guys first started, it was like huge music scene, and then there was a kind of a dip, and now it's really taking off again.
Yeah, I think these things come in waves, and like, you know, guitar bands come, like they'll be in fashion for a bit, and then the mainstream kind of fashion will move on and concentrate on some of the part of like more pop kind of music. And it just feels now that there's like more guitar bands around than ever.
If there's one indie band that you're liking at the moment, if someone's listening and they're like, "Oh, I want to go down the rabbit hole of indie music," who's someone currently that you're really loving that we can get our ears around?
On Friday night, I went to a house party where this band played their first gig in North London, and the band are called Loudmouth, and they've got a song called Come Over.
Send you a late night text, just come over. Finish your midnight shift, just come over. Wake up to 3 missed calls, just come over. Send you a late night
and it's absolutely brilliant, and they're really, really fun, and I kind of found them on TikTok and then started talking to them, and they were like, "Well, we're playing our first gig." So Me and our manager went up to the bass player's kitchen and watched their first show. It was brilliant.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the conversation that band had? Like, oh, my God, the bloke from Franz Ferdinand just reached out to us. He's going to come and see the gig.
He's going to come to the house party. That's excellent. We're a huge fan of the new album that came out earlier this year, The Human Fear. Audacious, it was the single, and there's a video clip out at the moment. But there is a song on the album that we need to talk about, and I think Jess might have a lot more questions than I will. It's called is it Cat or Cats, Bob?
Cats.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a snippet of it here, so we'll just play a bit of it so people listening can understand it.
You love no one and everyone at the same time. They can put a lead on you, but they'll never learn. They can never turn cat into dog.
Now, music these days, there's so many hidden messages, and like, what does that mean? To me, this song sounds like you're singing about a literal cat.
Yeah, is it exactly what it sounds like? Because it spoke to me as a cat owner.
Yeah, I think it is literally, like, it can be taken literally to mean that. I mean, Alex wrote those lyrics, and he wrote it during lockdown, and then sent it along to us. And I was like, that's, you know, it's quite, I think it is quite overtly about, like, cat lovers be dog lovers. But also, I think the song really has this kind of, like, really built-up tension. And I think during lockdown, you know, if you're, we were all forced to be house cats. Some of us actually are dogs, and we need to go out for long walks. And I kind of take it to me to be something about along those lines, you know. And the song has a real tension to it, and it's like it's kind of like built up kind of like tension that I can sort of imagine that's what how I felt during lockdown, you know, like it being forced to be inside all the time.
It makes more sense to know that it was written during lockdown. Yeah. I think that really just makes it a lot clearer. Bob Hardy from Franz Ferdinand. We are so keen. Live at the Gardens, Friday, November 28. You're going to be joined by some friends. Tickets are on sale in a couple of days, 14th of May through Ticketmaster. Pre-sale is the 12th of May, and we are so keen to have you back down under. Bob Hardy from Franz Ferdinand.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.